One night, and I was just thinking about the first man I had ever slept with, the story I related earlier, and that song is to him. Mm-hmm. And I rewrote, and I wrote the song with him in mind. He's getting married now. He went through aversion therapy.
I mean, they were trying to create an aversion to gayness in him.
Yeah, and they've succeeded to a certain extent, I guess, which is really strange to me because I've slept with the man and I know how he responded in bed, and I mean, there was just no difficulty involved, and he was very much there.
Do you know why he went into it?
I think it had to do with someone along the line had convinced him that his gayness, that he was using his gayness as a way to get back at his parents, because he resented his parents, and he was doing that as a way of saying, look what you did to me, or something.
Let me quote a few lines from You Don't Have to Be Ashamed. You say we're finished and that we've got nothing to gain. You say our feelings are to blame. But kill the legend and the crazy are sane. You know you don't have to be ashamed. You don't have to be ashamed. Sounding like you're telling him to come out.
For sure. They're pretty self-explanatory.
Yeah. But apparently he hasn't done that. Mm-hmm. Stay away from me, Stephen, or I might explode.
Yeah, explain that.
I hadn't seen Bruce, this man, for a year after we slept together. And he came over to my house one night. And there was an incredible sexual energy happening between us, like as soon as he walked into the door. And like, we kept doing things to like avoid it. Like, I made this big dinner and, you know, I cleaned up everything right afterwards. I did the dishes right away afterwards. And just to avoid sitting down on the couch together and talking, because I didn't want it to happen. And I didn't think he wanted it to happen again. And,
did you want it to happen?
Kind of, because he looked entirely different. And I was just really attracted to him. And it did happen. And he left right afterwards, and I was really flipped out because I really wanted him to spend the night. We don't talk very well. We're great in bed, but we just don't talk very well.
Yeah. Maybe and, he doesn't talk very well.
Maybe.
These days, your days, they seem to hit you like a surgeon's lamp. A cold, harsh light intruding on your privacy. Used to be I could tell that you loved me at a single glance. But now there's something in your eye that flashes like a taillight at the sight of me. You say we're finished and we've nothing to gain. You say our feelings are to blame. But kill the legend and the crazy are sane. You know you don't have to be ashamed. You don't have to be ashamed. Those moods, your moods, they seem to hit you like the smacking of cards, shuffled or stacked. You exclude me from the people you will see today. You used to say they were playing dirty, but now you're moving back. And you're looking up their sleeves and searching in their pockets for another way. Shall we nothing to gain? Say our feelings are to blame, but kill. legend and the crazy are insane. You know you don't have to be ashamed. You don't have to be ashamed. These days your ways, they're being hidden like the sinking of mines. Anchored underground, alone at the bottom with a heavy load. But take away the pills, the jar, the children, and you're on the line. Surfaced, you cry, stay away from me. We've nothing to gain. You say our feelings are to blame, to blame. But kill the legend and the crazy they're saying. You know you don't have to be ashamed. You don't have to be ashamed.
I keep going back to what I talked about at the very beginning, which is sort of trying to, like, in a way, you're searching for a kind of relationship, each song is like a different relationship. One sort of aversion to the cruising type of one-night stand relationship, and the other is a relationship like the one with Austin that is where there are fears of possessiveness and sort of dependency or interdependency. And then when you talked about what you're doing with the man that your lover's with now, with Chris, I feel like that's sort of changing, like that you're not as much, that you're starting to break away from the notion of having that one secure, solid relationship.
Mm-hmm. That started happening after Austin. I came to California, and I came back, and up until that time I was on welfare, and I got back to California, and I said to myself, what have I been doing with my life the past year? And I said, nothing.
Traumatizing about relationships that weren't happening anymore.
Mm-hmm. Was I?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's about all I was doing. Yeah. And I said, I'm going to go out, I'm going to get a job, and I'm going to get off welfare, and I'm just going to do something. And it's so strange, because right when I started really feeling independent and self-contained and centered, I met Chris, and which kind of says something to me, like, when you want it the most, you're not going to get it, but when you least expect it, you'll find it in your back pocket or something. Yeah.
Well, you're not so frantic for it. I mean, other people maybe pick up the vibrations that you're not as frantic, and then when that frantic, searching kind of feeling isn't there, then the real me comes out more, and other people pick up on that, and they want to tune into me that much more, because I'm not this frantic, traumatized person.
Mm-hmm, for sure.
Dry dock dreaming.
That's the pits. I wrote that up in the country too. There was no specific motivation so much as mood that I wanted there.